All right, welcome back to Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. We're joined now by Riley Gates, basketball beat writer of GoPowerCat.com. He joins us to preview K-State in the Big 12 tournament this week. They'll be the number 4 seed, and give us an idea into the Cats' mindset heading into Kansas City. And I saw our good friend Adam wondering, why in the world? What? Riley's on the show? What's going on? And I said, you know, we're going for the Guinness Book of World Records for hot air on a radio show. Dusty and I have got a big portion of that covered, along with Chad, but Riley can take us over the top. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It is good to be on here again. And, yeah, I think that if you're going for that record, I don't think that you can really find anybody better for to help you get that record than me. So let's make that happen.
I think it's the A-team that we got right here. Dusty, you want to say anything about anything to this guy that you know and you're somehow related to?
I don't even
you're like speechless.
I don't even know.
Oh, there's so many ways.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, he says it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's sad that we got to do it on the radio, right?
Whoa. I'm feeling a little bit of vibes here.
We're all busy. That's the reason we don't talk as much right now.
We're pretty busy with basketball all the way around, and Riley certainly is very busy with the K-State men's basketball team. But before we get into basketball, Riley, I want to ask you, Dalvin Womack changing his mind. Tell us about that for the football team.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a shock, to be honest, because we all just figured that Dalvin was headed off to different pastures because he was looking for more playing time. That was kind of the assumption or the thought that we all had out there. And, you know, because he hadn't played that much in his time here, it all made sense. But now he's coming back. He says he's developed a great relationship with Eric Hickson since he's come in as the new running backs coach. So, you know, personally, I think it's great for K-State. I think you get a leader that is well-respected and well-liked in the locker room, and obviously he has a different type of talent, a different skill set he can bring to the field. But I question it a little bit on Dalvin's part, because unless he's been told something that we're not hearing, you know, I still see Alex Barnes as the main workhorse in this backfield, and I still see Justin Tillman getting the majority of the second carries. But, you know, hopefully Dalvin can find his way in and get some more carries, because I do think he's been a little bit underutilized recently in the last few years.
Now, of course, we know the quarterback's going to get the most carries usually in that system, and so I'm surprised as well that he's coming back, because we talked about when he decided he was going to leave, it made perfect sense for him if he wants to get the ball more often. So it does make you wonder if the coaches have said, hey, you're going to get a real opportunity to win the job, or if there's something that's been promised to him. It does sound somewhat intriguing to me, or maybe there's going to be a bit of a different philosophy in how they're going to run the offense with different people calling the plays.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely that possibility out there. It's a completely different offense, you know, with Dana Dimmel being gone. I mean, it's still going to be the same in terms of the overall general thought, but I think we're going to see a little bit more heavy emphasis in certain areas with, you know, with Andre Coleman being the main OC, with Eric Hickson as the running backs coach. It'll be a little bit different, maybe not always all that noticeable. So, you know, you have to think that Dalvin was told something, and I guess if you're Dalvin, you just have to hope that it comes true when ball rolls around. So we'll see how it plays out, but like I said, good for K-State, in my opinion.
Riley Gates, a basketball beat writer with GoPowerCat.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Down. So let's turn our attention to the men's basketball team. Two-pronged question for you. One, do you think Kansas State is in the NCAA tournament no matter what they do in the first or quarterfinal round against TCU on Thursday? And then two, do you think then that they're playing to stay out of a play-in game in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, that is the question that we've been tossing around all week, definitely, and we went to great lengths yesterday on our podcast. I do think K-State's in, regardless of what happens. You know, the only way I could even see them potentially being left out is if they just got, you know, taken to town on Thursday, 20-30 point loss to TCU, and a bunch of other bubble teams have a lot of good things go for them. That's the only possible way that I could see K-State being left out, and yet I still think they'd be in. So I think K-State's safely in. But, yeah, that becomes the question is, you know, where are they in? Are they in the actual field, or are they in the Dayton playing games, which each and every day it seems like we're inching a lot more closer to that. It seems like Dayton is becoming a big possibility for this team, just because it's that terrible non-conference strength of schedule that K-State played is holding them back so much. You know, someone this morning outlined K-State and TCU, and it seems like right now TCU's a lock to be in that six, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7, maybe a 6 seed in there. And K-State's in this 10 to 12 range, and they have the same, you know, about the same record, the same road record. Actually, K-State's better on the road every measurable thing lines up to K-State being an equal team with TCU, and yet K-State's on the bubble and TCU is safely in the high seed. Well, why is that? Well, TCU played a top 50 non-conference strength of schedule. K-State played 348. So that's what's hampering K-State right now. That's what's going to get them in Dayton if that ends up being the case. And, you know, if they lose, I think it's a very strong possibility that we'll be going back to Dayton to cover a game, because I just don't see them putting a team that's hardly won any really big games solidly in the field.
You led me right where I wanted to go next, and that is signature wins. And K-State, to me, is an enigma, because they've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat for the most part, but they have not beaten any of the top teams in the Big 12. They don't have this big signature win. The one that they would have was against Oklahoma, and they're ranked number four at the time in Bramlage. And, of course, we know what's happened to Oklahoma since then. But yet they don't have, like, horrendous losses. The Tulsa loss looked really bad at the time, but Tulsa turned the season around and was very respectable in the AAC. So that makes it really difficult, I think, for the committee to determine where K-State falls on those seed lines, because K-State probably would have been better off beating, say, Kansas and West Virginia once and losing to Iowa State twice, if that sounds crazy.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but I don't think you're wrong in saying that, because look at a team like Oklahoma State, and by without looking at who they played or anything like that, you would think that this team is not in the NCAA tournament. And quite honestly, I expect Oklahoma State to be in the field. I think they're going to make it because they beat Texas Tech, Kansas, and West Virginia this year. And so I think that that's definitely what's holding K-State back right now. And I think it might be a little unfair to take the Oklahoma win away from them, because I think Oklahoma was 16-3 or something like that when they came into town. They're the number four team in the country. And it was a good win at the time, but it's also really tough to sit here and talk about how good that win was when Oklahoma loses 9 of 11 or whatever they lost down the stretch and really lost all credibility as a really good team. You know, as a K-State fan, you're happy that you didn't, you know, let Iowa State come into your arena and beat you, because that's a horrendous loss, but you're frustrated. It usually seems like K-State's able to get one of these wins, able to get a win to get them over the hump, and, you know, like we said, they just don't have it. All they have really to hang to their name right now is they went to Texas and got a really solid win, I thought. They went to Baylor and got a really solid win. All their really good wins that you sit here and think, well, that was a pretty solid win, are wins that they should have done anyway. So that's another thing that's held against them. And like you mentioned, that Tulsa loss, that just really pulls you down too.
Yeah, and those wins you just referred to are over fellow bubble teams for the NCAA tournament. So those don't get you all warm and fuzzy inside. The non-conference schedule next year, I know Athletic Director Gene Taylor's talked about trying to beef it up, and he's talked with Coach Weber about it. I will say, in fairness, you know, Vanderbilt's usually much better than they were this year. That certainly affected it a little bit, but certainly, you know, what was it, South Carolina Upstate and others really bad in the non-con. So where are things headed with the non-con for next year for K-State men's basketball?
Well, if you just simply look at it real quick, you're going to play Vanderbilt, but you're going to play Vanderbilt in Kansas City as that return game. You're going to play at Tulsa just as the return game on that one, and then you've got the Virgin Islands tournament with, you know, it's not very good teams either. Old Dominion, Missouri's really the only headliner in that tournament. And next year you got to question how good Missouri will actually be if they lose all these guys. So, look, it's going to be probably better overall, but also at the same time, it's not like anybody's coming in here. You know, nobody's going to come into Bramlage Coliseum that's a Power 5 team and is really going to bolster that schedule. You know, I think that everything that is said in public from Bruce Weber or Gene Taylor or whatever, I think it sounds great on paper that they want to play better teams, but honestly, I question if they're really trying all that hard. You know, they went and found Washington State and obviously finished up that home and home this year, but Washington State's a middle to closer to bottom of the Pac-12 team. You know, my thing is, even in those non-Power 5 conferences, they're not going out and they're not trying to find the better teams in those conferences. They're going to these small and big conferences and they're saying, who are the middle of the pack to the bottom of the pack teams that we could play that, you know, maybe they can string around a solid season and we can say that we beat them, but also there's a chance that they're not going to beat us. So I'd rather see K-State start shooting for the stars, you know. Come out in public and, you know, call out Nebraska. There's some talk out there that Nebraska and Creighton, teams like that, would actually not, you know, they would not agree to a home-and-home. So call somebody out, you know. I think that if you put that out in the public, if you go out there and say that we want to play you, you're going to start looking like you're at least trying. And also, I'm going to, you know, this is the obvious one, play Wichita State.
Yeah.
Okay? I was against it for years because even when Wichita State started to get good, I still thought that K-State was an overall better program, had more to lose. But right now, K-State's the third-best team in college basketball in the state of Kansas. And clearly, Wichita State's going to beef up your non-conference schedule. It's going to be a game that's going to sell a lot of tickets. Just do it. Go Bramlage, go Coke, go Interest, and go Sprint Center. 4 years, four games. I think that'd be great for K-State. And I you know, there's still a chance they could do it. The non-conference schedule still isn't out yet, but you know, I have my doubts as to whether or not they'll actually go out and do it.
Well, I'd love to see that, and I think that'd be a great idea, that the four-year thing you just presented. And on top of that, I mean, Wichita State, they played Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Baylor this year in the Big 12. I mean, they're now in the bigger conference, so there's not as much of a stigma, oh, well, we're playing a team from the Valley. So I think it'd be a great idea. All right, so you know the lightning rod at Kansas State, and that lightning rod is Bruce Weber. And I get texts all the time, and I get emails all the time, people that are tired of Bruce Weber, don't like Bruce Weber. I hear it mostly from the people that are anti-Bruce Weber. And I've been saying all year long, I don't see Bruce Weber getting fired. I don't see him being replaced. I think he's going to have at least one more year. And you look at this team, and they don't have a signature win. We've established that. But they are 21-10 overall. They are supposedly in the best conference in America. I don't know if I truly buy it. I think they're the most competitive conference in America. They're 10-8, a winning record. They're fourth in the Big 12. I think there's a lot of teams and programs that love to be where K-State is. K-State right now seems to be pretty solid into the NCAA tournament, although K-State fans want more, and I get it. They, you know, we'd like to be a 5 or a 6 or a 7 to where we feel like we can make the Sweet 16, whereas now I think K-State fans feel like, hey, we make the tournament, that's great and all, but we're not going anywhere. We're not going to win the play-in game. If we do, we're not getting past the next round like last year. Or we're in the round of 64, we might win one game, but we're not going to go to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8. Bruce Weber's never won an NCAA tournament game with Kansas State. Most people don't count the play-in game last year, even though that does count as the NCAA tournament win. All those things are used against Bruce Weber, but really at the end of the day, with everything going on with the FBI investigation that's out there, and I can't imagine what it's like for an AD that has an opening. They fired a coach or they're getting rid of a coach. You're really going to have to vet everybody very closely, because the worst thing you could have is go to another guy, bring him in, and he's part of this whole FBI investigation. It's a weird situation to me, and it just makes no sense to me from Gene Taylor's standpoint to probably make a move with Bruce Weber because of the landscape and atmosphere that we're in right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that there's any way Bruce Weber goes anywhere this year. You know, there was some chatter about, you know, if K-State gets bounced in the first round, maybe some donors start pushing to get him out. But I just don't think that, you know, it's very tough to fire a coach that wins 21 games, that makes the NCAA tournament, and has two players on all league teams supposedly returning next year, I guess. I can't officially say that until Dean Wade officially squashes his NBA rumors. But, you know, no, I don't think he's going to go anywhere this year, but it's not as if this year, you know, this was a great year for K-State. They were fourth place in the Big 12. They, like I said, they won 21 games. But also, none of it's going to matter if they go to Dayton and lose, or lose in that first-round game, because nobody's going to care. Heck, even if they win the first-round game and then get beat by the 2 or the 1 seed or whoever they'll end up playing in the second round, nobody's going to really care that much. Why? Because that bar was set high by Frank Martin, you know? You can't take a program to consistent NCAA tournaments, to consistently winning in the NCAA tournament, even an Elite Eight run, and then be the next coach and expect fans to be okay with losing in the first round. So do I think that Bruce Weber, you know, saved himself for this year? Absolutely. You know, I think his job was in real danger, and I think if he hadn't made the tournament this year, I think he would have been out the door. And I honestly didn't think he was going to make the tournament this year. But I don't think that this season necessarily hits the big reset button or, you know, clears everything away unless K-State strings together a big old run here in the NCAA tournament. Because, like I just said, what if you get bounced early? You know, what does that really change? It doesn't change all that much. And I don't think that one good season erases a lot of doubters out there and a lot of skeptics out there. So I think that, you know, you're kind of on a wait-and-see basis. You know, this is a good year. Next year's supposed to be a good year. But can you sustain it? You know, you can't be Bruce Weber and say that you had a good year this year, you had a good year next year, but then you drop off because you lost some people. You know, that's not the sign of a good program. Good programs sustain it. Just look at KU. So, you know, it's not going to happen this year. It might not happen next year, but I definitely think that unless he keeps K keeps at this level, keeps in the top five of the conference, I wouldn't say he's, you know, a lifelong K-State coach or anything like that. I think that it's more of a year-by-year basis and kind of see what's going on with Bruce Weber.
All right, so I presented the side for people that are, you know, not in Bruce Weber's camp. Let me present a side that is from the Bruce Weber's camp, and that would be, listen, we were picked eighth in the preseason polls. I know you, Riley, and myself, and Dusty, I think, and we had you on, and we talked about, I think, during football season about K-State men's basketball. We all thought K-State men's basketball was going to have a rough year. I don't think any of us thought they were going to make the tournament. I think a lot of K-State fans didn't think they were going to make the tournament. And so those that would want to support Bruce Weber would say, listen, he's done a heck of a job this year, fourth in the toughest conference in America, and he is going to have an NCAA tournament. He actually got this team to overachieve. The flip side to that same argument is you have a first-team all-leaguer. You have a second-team all-leaguer, a guy that also made first-team all-defensive team, and you're 10-8 in conference and no signature wins. It just seems like this is one of those back-and-forth arguments that can go till the end of time. And I took debate back in high school, and if you presented me with the, hey, you have to support Bruce Weber, make your argument, I could probably make a decent one. And if you told me to use the anti-Bruce Weber argument, I could probably present a pretty good argument there too. And I know Tim Fitzgerald, he had an interesting article talking about purgatory, that K-State's basically a 50-50, 500 team in the Big 12 and Bruce Weber and so forth and so on. I guess the question I ask for you, Riley, and it's one I get asked almost all the time, is what are the realistic expectations that K-State fans should have for their men's basketball program when we know that most of those people care much more about what's going on the gridiron?
I think that this season alone is kind of where the bar should be in terms of regular season expectations. Obviously, you want to see a better non-conference schedule, better wins, and so that needs to improve. But the 20 to 22 win mark is more than doable. A 9-9 record in the Big 12 Conference should be the bare minimum at K-State. You know, K-State's not a basketball powerhouse by any means. It used to be, though. And that's where it should be. So I think that that's what your regular season should be. But it's, for K-State fans, it's about the postseason. It's about feeling like you're an important team, about feeling like you can make a run. You know, you go back to that last year that Frank Martin was here. When they played Syracuse in the second round, that one seed versus AC game, a lot of people thought K-State was going to win. Why? Because that's the expectation that K-State has basketball been at. And now the expectation is, K-State basketball will get bounced in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, you can debate the Bruce Weber sides all day, every day, for the rest of your life. It's going to happen with a lot of groups of people, and it's never going to end. Mm-hmm. The thing what I would just tell Bruce Weber, you know, you laid out the arguments for pro-Bruce Weber, is that they overcame their preseason ranking, that they had players on the all-conference teams. What I would say is, yeah, that's great. But that should be your benchmark. That should be what you should expect to do. You know, there's no reason that should be an outlier. And if that's going to be your benchmark, if that's going to be something that you can hang your hat on each and every year, why don't you do it more often? Or why didn't you win with those players? Because I guarantee you this: there's no reason they should lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament. There's just not. Look, I think they're a better team than where their seed's going to be, and it's due their strength of schedule. And I just think that if they get bounced in the first round, that's a little bit unacceptable in my opinion. So, you know, I think that's where the bar should be for K-State fans, and that's going to be the thing that comes back on Bruce Weber or works for Bruce Weber for the rest of his time at K-State.
Riley Gates, basketball beat writer, GoPowerCat.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So let me go one step further what you just said then. You said disappointed and should expect to win a first-round game. Some of the bracketology has K-State playing Florida in the first round. K-State is a 10, Florida is a 7. I've seen other brackets saying K-State would be a 10 or a 9 taking on a 7 or an 8 Creighton. Are you saying that those games K-State should win against Florida and against Creighton?
Yeah, that might have come off a little bit. What I meant by that is what I'm saying there is that I think K-State can beat those teams. I don't see any reason why this team should, you should look at this matchup, that any of the matchups they'll have in the first round, and you'd say, oh, well, they're going to lose that game.
Right.
Is there going to be a matchup that you say, ah, you know, that might be tough? I don't know if K-State can handle that. Sure, there's going to be those matchups out there, and obviously you have to wait until the real bracket comes out. But I don't think that there's any reason we should be looking at any of their matchups and say that K-State just doesn't have a chance. And I feel like that's what's going to happen with a lot of people. So you know, we'll see who they get matched up with, and then I guess I'd feel I should probably hold off on saying there's no reason that they shouldn't win their first round game until I see who they're playing.
Sure.
But I feel confident in this team's abilities that when they play at their peak, that they're better than a first round exit.
Let's talk about the Kamau Stokes dilemma. I call it a dilemma. The coaching staff might not, but there's no question there is a correlation between Cartier Jada's numbers without Stokes playing and with Stokes returning. And Stokes' numbers until that last game against Baylor were atrocious. I think 18% from three, or 18% from the floor, 14% from three. And there are a lot of people that feel that Stokes is playing maybe too much. Although if there's foul trouble, Barry Brown or somebody gets in foul trouble, Stokes is going to have to play more minutes. How do you see that with Stokes coming back to this team and Jada's minutes, how they are distributed?
Well, Kamau Stokes is great. You know, there's some times where he can do a lot of good things, and it's obviously good to have his experience out there. He's been in two Big 12 tournaments now, so he has that on Cartier. But, you know, he's far from healthy, first off. His foot might be medically cleared, but he's not healthy, and it's affecting him mentally because he wants to do things that he can't do, and then that frustrates him. He's a very emotional player. And I think it's starting to affect his performance on the floor. And personally, when I look at the box scores, when I look at the way that Bruce Weber's coaching right now, he's slowly but surely working his way to the point where Kamau Stokes is going to be playing more minutes than Cartier Jada. And I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think right now you need to ride with what got you there, and that's Cartier Jada. You know, I don't think that – first off, I don't think strategically it's a smart move, just because I think that Cartier brings more to the offense. He allows it to move a lot easier. He spaces the floor a lot better, doesn't take bad shots. But also mentally, you know, Cartier is looking over his shoulder right now. He wants to keep playing. You know, he's a team player. Obviously, he doesn't care as long as they get the win. But he also would like to keep playing, especially for the fact that he came in for that seven-game stretch. And he did fantastic. You know, I don't think it's exactly the best thing for someone's morale if you sit here and say, hey, thanks for getting us through the tough times, but we're going to go back to the guy that we were originally going with here. And that's kind of the way it feels like it's going right now. And there's a correlation. When Kamau Stokes is on the floor too much, K-State's going to lose the game. And I think when you roll with Cartier, you have a better chance to win. So I like Kamau a lot. I think he can help K-State. But I also think his limits need to stay minuted. Minutes need to stay limited, goodness, for the rest of the season, and then you kind of revisit the conversation next year.
All right, give me a percentage here. The percentage of likelihood that Dean Wade actually goes pro after this year, I'll put it at 0.5%. I just don't think he's going pro.
When you say actually go pro, do you mean officially stay in the draft? Because I think he's going to put his name in the draft.
Okay. Well,
I think he's going to do it.
Well, I say why not? I mean, why not? You got nothing to lose there. Don't sign an agent, and then you're going to come back your senior year. Also, that's why you would go and work out for teams. So why not do it? I agree with you there. So I'm saying, as in regards to he actually is going to test the waters and then say, okay, I'm not coming back to K-State.
Okay. So I think that, you know, I definitely wouldn't put it any higher than 10%. You know, maybe I'd give it the slightest of chances, like 5% on that odd chance that he dominates in the next 2 weeks. And there's a lot of NBA scouts out there, and they say, you know, he's raw. He's got some mental things we need to get him over. But, man, this kid's talented. Let's take a chance on him. But look, I think even if he plays at his peak, though, he's no higher than a mid-second-round pick. And mm-hmm. I think if he comes back for another year, he could even push into the first round. So I would not advise Dean Wade to go pro, but I guess there's always that chance. We'll see what happens.
I guess the best case scenario really would be for everybody. If K-State would make the Sweet 16, that would be good for Bruce Weber. K-State fans might give him a little bit of a break because he made the Sweet 16 this year. And Dean Wade gets to, you know, have two really good games in a tournament, maybe even a third in a Sweet 16 loss, and that would help his stock as well. All right, K-State TCU 11:30 coming up on Thursday morning. Third meeting a year between the two teams. The last meeting, K-State just flat out, trying to be nice in regards to describing their offense in the last 3 minutes, it was brutal. They had five possessions, four turnovers, a jump ball, arrow went the other way. There was a three-minute span. They took one shot, and they had a one-point lead before that stretch. It's a game that I felt they should have won. They were in position to win, simply didn't get it done, and would have definitely guaranteed themselves to go in the NCAA tournament. Now they get another shot at TCU there in Kansas City. Your thoughts on this matchup, and do you think K-State beats TCU in Sprint Center?
So Oh, man, that's a tough question. You know, it's going to be a good game, I think, because of just how close these two teams have played in the two meetings this year. And, you know, I think that they're about the two most evenly matched teams in the Big 12. You know, I've been going back and forth a lot on it, and I really don't feel like I'm ever accurate on whatever prediction I make. But if you told me to make a prediction today on what I think, you know, I think I'd have to roll with TCU. I think TCU is a hotter team right now, a more confident team. And if you take the 40 minutes from the first game and the 40 minutes from the second game, you put them together, I feel like TCU played better. I feel like TCU actually played better for the majority of the game in Manhattan, and then K-State kind of found a stretch in the final, I don't know, 10 minutes or so or whatever, and found a way to beat TCU's. And, you know, credit to K-State, that was a good game played, but you know, I just think that overall TCU is probably a better team. I think, like I said, I think they're a more confident team right now, and they're playing better overall. It just doesn't feel to me like once K-State wins, it feels to me like they know they're in the NCAA tournament and might not come out with that same edge that they came out with last year against Baylor in that 6-3 game. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe K-State does come out sharp. But honestly, if I had to pick today, I'd probably go TCU. I won't be shocked by whatever happens. I'll just say that.
Yeah, it could go either way. I'm with you on that. All right, some quickies, quick questions and quick answers here, unless you want to elaborate. K-State seed in NCAA tournament will be?
11.
Will they be in a play-in game?
Yes.
Okay. Your Big 12 title game matchup, which two teams will meet for the championship in Kansas City?
Ooh, man, that's a good one. I think I'm going to go with KU and West Virginia. But don't be shocked. Oklahoma State seems like a really far possibility just because they're playing on that Wednesday, mm-hmm. and I don't think they have enough energy to get there. But, man, if they could string together two good games there and get rolling, that'd be a really fun thing to see happen. But I'd probably go KU and West Virginia.
They've beaten KU twice, and that'd be a third time if they made it to the semifinals, if they get by Oklahoma on Wednesday and KU then in the quarters on Thursday. And then who would you pick then, KU, West Virginia, to win it?
Oh, I'd probably pick KU because it's in the Sprint Center. It's KU's conference to win every single year. I think KU is the best team in this conference, and I like KU to win this tournament.
You Jayhawk homer, you.
I get that a lot. You know?
I don't think KU is going to win the tournament. And last year they lost in the quarters to TCU in Sprint Center. They lost in Sprint Center to Washington last year. They lost in the Elite Eight to Oregon at Sprint Center. I think the Sprint Center thing is a little overdone with KU. But I understand where you're coming from, and you very well could be right. They definitely could win it. I think one of eight teams could probably win this thing, like you just mentioned with Oklahoma State. How many Big 12 teams make the tournament?
I'm gonna roll with a safe answer and say eight. I think that Iowa State is obviously going to be out, and I think either Texas or Baylor will not get in. But I think Oklahoma State's going to get in, and K-State's going to get in. I think that'll make eight.
So you're going with eight, okay? All right. Better off the wall questions for you. All right. You ready to finish up strong?
I'm ready.
All right. Off the wall, I got two of them for you. Off the wall question. I know you're going to love these. Better tackler, Riley Gates, Parker Gates, Tyson Gates, or Marcus Peters?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I don't mean to side with myself to give me all the credit in the world, but I think I had the most experience with tackling. Now, Parker was quick. He was a defensive back. He made plays on the ball rather than tackle, so I gotta go with me, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta be confident with yourself. All right, so Riley picks himself. Final off the wall question: how desperate were the TMP girls when they named Sam Pauls as an assistant coach?
Oh my goodness. Oh no, that's a terrible one.
It's my favorite.
Hey, I think it's the hire of the century. I think there's no reason at all you need to look any further than the TMP assistant coaching staff to understand why the TMP girls are playing in the state tournament this week. It's clearly him, and honestly, I think I'd pick TMP today to win the state title if he'd just wear that headband on the sideline, but I don't think I can get him to do it in the suit. So I'm pulling for TMP a little bit. Got to rep for him a little bit, but man, you do got to wonder, I guess, what the AD was thinking when they made that call.
I agree with you there. I saw him on Friday and Saturday at Substate in Minneapolis, and I talked to him a little bit. And the whole girls team was around within earshot when I said this. I go, Sam, come on, man, you got to bring the headband at least to Substate, and they just all started laughing. And a couple of the girls actually were wearing headbands, and I said, hey, you wear that much better than Sam ever did. And he started laughing, and we just had a good laugh about it all. And then they made it to state, and I told Sam, great job. I said, it had nothing to do with you, but great job. And he started laughing again. And I said, no, actually, it takes really good coaching to get teams to state. So Sam's doing a nice job down there, but it is weird to see him. It could have been Beloit TMP in the sub-state final. It would have been weird him on the other sideline against Beloit, but I guess weirder things have happened. Has he cleaned up his act? He doesn't lie anymore, does he?
We never lied. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never liars.
Incriminating yourself, man. You're just killing me. Hey, we appreciate the time. I know you're very busy, and you're doing a great job at GoPowerCat.com. Why don't you just tell people how they can read your guys' work?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you can just get on over to GoPowerCat.com, type in that exact URL. We're over at 24/7 Sports. And we've been pumping out a lot of really good stuff. We had Junior Day football recruiting. We've already had 12 stories out there about Junior Day alone, and we're going to start ramping it up a lot more in the coming weeks. So, yeah, we're looking forward to bringing K-State fans some coverage of K-State sports. That's what we do, and we think we do it better than anybody else. So, yeah, just head on over there. We'd be more than happy to have you over.
Fantastic. Riley, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was fun. Talk to you later.
Riley Gates, basketball beat writer. GoPowerCat.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs.